To see all y'all once again, man. Hallelujah. We might go over a couple of those. You can turn over to Mark 11, please. Mark 11, we'll probably start about verse 11. Amen. I'll pray and we'll get started. Father God, we do love, thank you, praise you, magnify your holy name. We thank you, Father God, for another opportunity to gather around your word with like believers. I thank you, Father God, not my will, but your will be done this morning. Not what I want to say, but what you would have for this congregation. And not just for them, Father God, but also for myself. So that we may be able to grow, Father God, from your word and through your word. And I thank you, Father God, anything that we might be coming up against, I thank you, Father God, you gave us the ability to grow our faith in it. You gave us the ability to get faith from your word, because you already gave us a measure of the God kind of faith. Hallelujah. And so I thank you, Father God, we're able to deal with the situations with the faith that you gave us, and we're able to grow in our faith by using it. And so we thank you for it, Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus. I thank you, Father God, that my tongue will be as the pen of a ready writer, bringing forth truths from your word this evening. And I, Holy Ghost, sir, we ask you to unveil and reveal truths to us this evening that I didn't even plan on saying. And so we thank you for it in the mighty name of Jesus. Everybody agreed, said amen. Amen. Everybody's at Mark 11?
Yes, sir.
Mark 11, 11. I'm going to read it out of the Weymouth, however you say that. I say it different every time. It says, so he came into Jerusalem. I'm actually going to finish up a couple verses from last Wednesday. Y'all remember last Wednesday?
Yes.
All right, good. So he came up to Jerusalem, came into Jerusalem. Amen. So he came into Jerusalem and into the temple, and after looking round upon everything there, the hour being now late, he went out to Bethany with the 12. The next day, after they had left Bethany, he was what? Hungry, right? But in the distance, he saw a fig tree in full leaf and went to see whether perhaps he could find some figs on it. When, however, he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for it was not fig time. Say fig time. Amen. And he said to the what? To the disciples?
Tree.
What did he speak to?
Tree.
He spoke to the thing that was trying to stand in front of him.
Yes.
He spoke to the situation.
Yes.
He didn't call up his disciples. Y'all come here, man. Look, I'm hungry. This tree ain't got nothing for me to eat. Now I'm starving. Y'all got anything in y'all's pockets? Is that what he sounded like? Amen. What did he speak to?
Tree.
The tree. What should we speak to our friends?
No.
The situation. Amen. Too many times we get sucked up in calling friends, though, calling family and complaining about what's going on instead of handling it the word way. Amen. And that's why we stay in situations for a little longer than what we want to be there. Like sickness or something attacked my body and went on for a couple of days with it. And then all of a sudden, it's like a light goes off. It's like, really? You didn't even pray or nothing or speak to it?
Yeah.
You're just kind of dealing with it, thinking, oh, I'll be fine.
Yeah.
And then we start doing the, well, I haven't been sick for years. My body will fight this off. You know, I got a great immune system. Well, it will, but the word of God will do it right now.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen. Ah, so Jesus answered it. And he said to the tree, let no one ever again eat fruit from thee. And his disciples what?
Heard it.
Heard it. Amen. Go down to verse 20, please. In the early morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree withered to the roots. And Peter, amen, I like Peter. And Peter, recollecting, said to him, "Look, Rabbi, the fig tree which you cursed is what?
Withered
up." Jesus said to them, "Have faith in what?
God.
In God." Amen. In solemn truth, I tell you that if any one of you shall say to this mountain, "Remove and hurl thyself into the sea," and has no doubt about it in his heart, but steadfastly, amen, but steadfastly, amen, but steadfastly, and has no doubt about it in his heart, but steadfastly, amen, but steadfastly believes that what he says will happen, it shall be granted him. Amen. I looked up the word steadfastly, obviously, and so I found some definitions, and one of them's in a firm and unwavering manner. In a firm and unwavering manner. Amen. Determination. Determination. Strongly and without stopping. Strongly and without stopping. In a way that is fixed. Steady or firm, and then fixed or unchanging. I like in a firm and unwavering manner. And also determination. You got to have determination about you. You got to have some fight about you. Amen. You got to stay after it. Don't just speak the word, and if you don't see nothing, go, I guess it's not for me. Amen. That's what people that don't understand the word do. Amen. But we understand the word. Do we understand it fully? No. But we're getting more light every single day. Amen. Amen. We're getting more light every day because God's helping us. Amen. From his word. Amen. But he was steadfastly. I'm going to read this verse again because it just bears repeating. Verse 23, in solemn truth I tell you that if anyone shall say to this mountain, "Remove," hallelujah, amen, glory be to God forevermore, amen, hallelujah, "remove and hurl thyself into the sea," hallelujah, and has no what? Doubt about it, where? But steadfastly believes. But I'm going to throw some definitions in it. But in a firm and unwavering manner believes. Amen. But in a firm and unwavering manner believes. Amen. But in a determination believes, right? But strongly and without stopping believes.
Yes. Amen.
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 I lost my place there. But in a firm and unwavering manner. What does an unwavering manner look like? Back and forth, back and forth, not consistent. Wavering, you cannot put wavering and consistency in the same sentence.
No.
You really can't. They're total opposites. One's going like this and one's just constant.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Right?
Yes.
In an unwavering manner, believes. What does he believe? That what he says will happen, right?
Amen.
That what he says will happen. It shall be what? It shall be done. And the Weymouth, it says, it shall be granted him. Who's him? The person that said it. Amen. The person that said it. So in a steadfastly means in a firm and unwavering manner, determination, strongly and without stopping, in a way that is fixed, steady or firm, and fixed or unchanging. Amen. We're going to move on. Go to Romans 12 real fast, please. Romans 12, 2, the Passion. Will you pull that up in the Passion, please? I wonder if after Jesus spoke to that tree, if he ever doubted it. Obviously not, because we all just read that they came back by the next day and it was what? Dried up from the roots, right? So he obviously didn't allow any thoughts, any doubt to come in and convince him that what he said, can it really happen to a tree? You just going to tell a tree to die and it's going to happen? You sure? You sure? You really? You sure? It's like, okay. It's like if you own a car or own anything and you have the title to it. And then somebody comes up to you and goes, hey, that's my car. No, it ain't. Yeah, it's my car. I'm telling you. This is the color of it. I mean, you know, your headlights, they work. They're in the front. You know, that's my car. And all of a sudden, you might go on for a little bit, and then all of a sudden you pull out the title deed. It's mine. It belongs to me. What is a title deed? Now, faith is the substance of the things hoped for. The title deed. A title deed is showing proof of ownership. It's exactly what it's doing. And so if I'm wavering, you might have a title deed, you might not. But if you're constant, if you're steady, if you're fixed, you understand what a title deed is and you understand it belongs to me. I could care less what everything around me looks like. I could care less what anything looks like. Because what I spoke, it will come to pass. It belongs to me, and I have it now. I spoke the command of faith, and I released my faith. I'm not going to talk about it anymore. I'm not going to dwell on it. I'm not going to try to, I won't even touch it in thought life.
Hallelujah.
And that's the place, I said something, I think, last week about women having a nothing box. Y'all might not have a nothing box, but you can stop making your mind run wide open, just
yes.
Like guys can.
Yeah.
Because that's just allowing your spirit man to listen. Everybody has that capability. Maybe we haven't practiced it or done it. So we've always just allowed our mind to constantly go and go and go and go. And so it's constantly thinking and saying, well, you really think that's going to happen? Hey, what about today? And if you ever notice, you talk to some people, they'll wake up 2-3 o'clock in the morning thinking about stuff. Oh, man, I wonder if I did that. I had some bosses, they'd wake up worrying. Man, I wonder if we shut that valve today. See, we can constantly allow our mind to go if we want it to. Or you can shut it up, command it to be quiet. Just say, I'm not going to listen to you. You don't run me. You don't rule me. It's things that we have to practice. It really is. I mean, let's be honest. We can do it because we'll go ahead and bring some kids into the example here. Kids will come up to you, mom, 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 and somehow you just blocked them out. Dads do too, right? Let's be honest. Because the mom being coming in there, did you not hear them talking to you? No, what'd they say? They say something? So obviously we're able to quiet our mind. Amen. All right, where'd we go? Romans 12. All right. Stop imitating the ideas and opinions of the what?
Culture
around you. But be inwardly transformed by the what?
Holy Spirit.
Through a total
reformation.
Yeah, that's the word, of how you think. This will empower you to discern God's will as you live a beautiful life, satisfying and perfect. Where?
In His eyes.
In His eyes. Amen. So stop imitating the what? Ideas and opinions of the culture around you. But be what?
Inwardly transformed
by the Holy Spirit through a total what? Of how what? Of how what? How are we going to change the pattern of how we always thought? It tells us right here. Holy Ghost, but through the Word, right?
Amen.
So if I'm not in that Word, I'm going to keep thinking how I've always thought.
Amen.
That same thought pattern I'll continue to keep.
Right.
But if I get into the Word and I find out what belongs to me,
Amen.
Not what somebody said, but I find out what belongs to me,
Amen.
Then I'll be able to change the way I think. Man, it's already 7:50. So wrong thinking, wrong believing, and wrong talking will defeat you. The devil can't defeat you because Jesus already has defeated the devil for you.
Amen.
Right?
Yes.
Are we all in agreement?
Yes.
We should be, because Jesus, we obviously know. I didn't put my phone on vibrate. I apologize. Jesus, as we already know, went to hell but stole the keys.
Yep.
Right? Death, hell, and the grave, right?
Yep.
Amen. So Satan can't defeat you because Jesus already defeated him for you. So Satan doesn't defeat you. You defeat yourself. You know, it was a few years, probably. Well, you know the saying, the devil made me do it. You know, you heard people say it. No, he didn't. You allowed your flesh to do it. Your flesh dominated, and so you did it because that's what your flesh wanted to do. We might as well call it what it is. The thing is, we want to put it off on something else. That way we don't have to take the blame for that. I don't know why. I didn't do that. The devil made me. No, you just ain't renewing your mind to the Word, and you just stood right there and cussed that dude out. That's what happened. All right. Okay. Amen. Can you fix the sound, please? It sounds like I'm in a bubble, and it's ringing in my ears. Thank you. You defeat yourself, or if he does, talking about Satan, you permitted him to do so.
Yes, amen.
Amen. It is a consent of ignorance on our part whenever we do it, because maybe we just don't know.
Yeah, that's good.
Right. Amen. My people lack for what? My people perish for what?
Lack of knowledge.
Lack of knowledge.
Yep.
Right? And so then it might be a consent of ignorance. We just don't know any better. Yep. And so we're allowing ourselves to do it. You know, I believe, as I heard Brother Hagin say it, that one of the greatest weapons Satan has is the power of suggestion.
Yes.
Yeah.
He'll just suggest stuff to us. He can't make us do it. And so it's a part we're given just consent of our ignorance at that point. Because now, you know, if we're healed or if we're going good, our bills and everything's getting paid. And then all of a sudden we get something in the mail, a bill, or we feel a pain in our leg. And then all of a sudden a thought comes, are you healed? And then if we start meditating on it, we take that thought,
yeah.
Right? We start going, man, I don't know. I thought I was healed. Well, see, now we just grabbed it.
Right.
Consent of ignorance. Because we're not paying attention to what we're thinking about. Right? Sometimes people consider their circumstances rather than the Word. Amen. Turn over to 2 Corinthians 10:5, please, King James. Casting down what?
Imaginations.
Imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against what?
The knowledge of God.
And bringing into what?
Captivity.
Every what?
Thought.
To the obedience of what?
Christ.
Amen. Bringing into captivity every thought. To the obedience of what?
Christ.
So see, that's things like, well, healing's not for us today. That's not my fault. I know what the Word of God says.
Yes.
I don't believe that. Well, maybe you wasn't healed. I know for a fact I was healed.
Yes.
You got no right here. I'm not. That's not even my fault. And Satan, I resist you.
That's right.
Right? That's how, you know, we think it's some kind of hard deal, but I mean, to be honest with you, a lot of people are defeated in their thought life.
Yes.
They have faith, and they know how to use their faith, but their thought life continually defeats them. Because Satan will bring a thought, and then we'll just grab onto it. Not we, amen, them,
amen.
And then they just run off with it. Because then once you start speaking it, because the word in Matthew 6:33 or something like that, I believe, says, take no thought what?
Saying.
How do you take a thought?
Saying.
Scripture tells us how to take a thought. We say it, right? And so if we just continually resist those thoughts and not allow them to speak to us and not allow them to come out of our mouths.
Amen.
Because if we're saying what the Word of God says, who do we sound like?
God.
Good job.
Amen.
So if we're talking lack, doubt, unbelief, sickness, poverty, who do we sound like?
Satan.
And ain't God. And so if I'm not renewing my mind to that word, what do you think I'm going to sound like later on? Especially, because look, let's be honest, we all work. And so we're around people that are not Christians. Or if we don't work, we're still around people that are not Christians. And if I'm not feeding my faith daily, getting into the word, the way that they sound around us. Y'all remember whenever Peter, I forgot where it was. Peter, whenever Jesus was crucified and everything, one of the scriptures says that he began to sound just like them.
Yes.
What does that mean? That means he probably started cussing.
Yep.
Because he was like, look, I don't know him. Because that one servant was like, oh, you know Jesus, you was with him, you're one of the disciples. No, I wasn't. And then like the second time, I believe it was, it said that he sounded just like them that way that they couldn't distinguish between him and being with God. He had to sound like them.
Yes.
Amen.
I'm going to play you something real fast, okay?
All right.
Good. Thank you for agreeing. Thank you. I've been listening to Brother Hagin, obviously. And he said something the other day that really just got me meditating on all this. Talking about not touching something in his thought life. And it's got nothing to do with what I'm listening to. But he just said it, and it was just like 5 seconds or 5 minutes. And I was like, son, that speaks more to me than what I've been listening. You know, it's just God helping us out, right? Amen. So I'm going to play this for you real fast because I thought it was real good, and it's almost 8 o'clock, so we got to hurry.
The God of this world has blinded their mind. That's what you've got to do, is to break that power over them. The gospel's already here. The light's already here. It can't shine in because their minds are blinded. God's already done all he's going to do about it.
He's talking
about
his brother.
As I lay there, I thought about it. I thought, well, I know what I'll do. I see something here I never saw before. I'm going to pick out the very worst person of our family. You know, if it'd work on him, it'd work on anybody. So I'll just take my brother Doug. I mean, he is sort of the black sheep of the family. Anything you want to mention, he's done it. Anything that's even unmentionable, he's done it. I said to myself, if it worked on him, it'd work on anybody. I rose up off of the bed with my Bible in one hand, lifted my other hand and said, now, I'd fasted and prayed for him off and on for 15 years. If it ever...
Did you hear that? He said, I fasted and prayed. So he's talking about his salvation. He said, I fasted and prayed for 15 years for my brother to be saved. For 15 years. And it did nothing. Because Jesus told him, he said, I've already done everything I'm going to do about his salvation. I sent Jesus. And then he starts talking about what he's talking about right now, 2 Corinthians 4:4, where it talks about Satan's blinded the mind of the children of this world. Yep. See, so you just take authority over that, command the blinders to fall off of them, right? And so that's exactly what he's talking about. He said, I fasted and prayed for 15 years, and my brother stayed the same. He said, but then God showed me this out of 2 Corinthians 4:4. He said, and then within a few weeks, it changed. His brother got saved. Amen. But moving along, sorry, that was side note.
He did anything, I couldn't tell it. That's the reason the Lord said you worked on the wrong end of the thing. See, you fasted and prayed that I'd do something, and I've done all I'm ever going to do, you see. The gospel's already, the blood's already been shed. The gospel's already been given. The light's already here. Are you hearing me? It can't shine in because of what the devil's done. It's not that intercession changes God. God don't ever change. Prayer doesn't change God. He don't ever change. Somebody said, I talked God in the notion of doing this. No, you didn't, dummy. You talked yourself in the notion of doing something. What you did. Prayer changes you and changes others. Doesn't change God. Amen. Are you listening? So I rose up off the bed. I said, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I break the power of the devil over my brother Dub's life. Claim his deliverance. That meant I claimed his deliverance from that blindness, that bondage of Satan. And claim his full salvation in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I said it one time. Snapped my Bible too, laid it down, said, that settles it. Job's done. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Went out of whistling and a singing.
You see what faith does. Faith didn't spend 30 minutes or an hour crying out a prayer. Faith took his authority and broke the power of Satan over his brother's life and claimed the salvation, shut the Bible and said, that's it, I got it.
No use doing it again. No use even thinking about it. In fact, I never even touched it in thought life. Just left it alone.
That's it.
Closed that meeting, preached the rest of the week, went by home a few days, went out in West Texas, that was in East Texas, went out in West Texas to preach. Never even thought about it. Wouldn't even touch it in thought life. Once you settle it, it's settled.
Yeah.
And so one afternoon here in this church, I was having two service days, teaching in the morning time, preaching at night. In the afternoon, I'd been in my bedroom. I'd stand in the pastors with the pastor and his family. And I had been studying, you see, and reading some, and got up and went to the kitchen to get me a drink of water. There, we'll forget it. Stepped out of the kitchen just at the edge of the dining room because I had to come through the dining room, the living room, back to get to my room. My bedroom, the guest bedroom, is the only bedroom up the front part of the house. So I had to go through there to get to it. Just to step to the edge of the dining room, it's just like a voice spoke to me out here somewhere. To me, it just almost sounded audible. It said, oh, come on now. You don't really think that old Dub will ever be saved, do you? And she hadn't even bothered me for 10 days or said anything to me about it. For just a moment, I stopped, you know, just dead still there for a moment. For a moment, my mind started to pick it up. And then
did you hear that? He said, for a moment, my mind tried to pick that up and think about it. For a moment, he said, I stopped. My mind tried to pick that up and think on it. That's where people get defeated sometimes. They that thought comes, their mind grabs it, and then they won't get rid of it. And then so what they just spoke out, the command of faith, what they're believing for, they're starting to meditate on this and think about this until it comes out of their mouth, and now what they just spoke ain't going to come to pass because now we're wavering. Well, you know, my brother, you know, I have been praying for him for 15 years. You know, I hope this will happen. See, and those are the kind of thoughts that come up. Because Satan, he's not a dummy. Well, he is, but he's not. You get what I'm saying? He's not just going to come up to you and say, hey, I'm the devil, because we'd know automatically, well, I resist you, get away. But if he brings a little thought, well, you really think this is going to happen? You know, you've been fasting for 15 years and praying for him and nothing's happened. So you really think just saying that will work now? You really think you're healed? Because, you know, you've had that sickness for years. And now, I know now you haven't had it for 10 days or whatever, but you know yesterday you kind of had a symptom. You remember that, you know? I mean, maybe it's coming back. Maybe you really wasn't healed. Maybe it was just dormant. See, once we start realizing it and paying attention to these kind of things, we know how to handle them and deal with them. But we're our worst enemy. Amen. He shuts his mind off, doesn't allow it to grab that. And you also notice he said it came from where? He said it came from out here somewhere. He didn't say it came from in here. Because that's where what is? Spirit of God. Right? Down in our heart, right? Amen. He didn't say it came up into his mind. He said it came outside. See, this is where Satan is. He's the god of this world. 2 Corinthians 4:4. Amen. He said it came out here, not from up on the inside of me. And not only that, if we just think about it sometimes. If once we, you know, if we're believing for something and a thought comes, just if we're unsure about it, just do one of these. Well, is what I'm thinking, is it bringing faith or is it making me wanting a doubt? Is it going to cause me to waver? Is it what I'm actually believing for? And if it's contrary to these, obviously it's not from God. Amen. If we just don't know, understand, because look, it's growing for everybody, right? Yes. So, I mean, whenever we say things like, you know, it came from out here, somebody might not just understand it yet. So just think to yourself, is it bringing faith? Or is it bringing fear? Is it bringing doubt? Amen. These are questions we got to ask ourselves. Is this thought, is this helping me? In the long run, will this help me? Will it help me achieve what I'm believing God for? Or is this detriment to what I'm believing God for? Will this cause me to waver and back up from what I'm believing God for? Amen. Until we understand, these are questions we need to be asking ourselves. Amen.
And I shut my mind off, wouldn't even think about it. Just shut my mind off, wouldn't even consider it. And way down in here somewhere, in my spirit, there's something just started bubbling up, you know, just bubbling up. I knew I was laughing way down in here. And that laugh just come up and bubbled out, and I started laughing out loud. No, I said, out of the inside of me, not out of my mind, I just bypassed my mind. Out of here. I said, Mr. Devil, I don't think you'll be saved. I never have thought you'd be saved. You see, I know it. Because, you see, I took the name of Jesus and broke your power over it and claimed his deliverance. That means deliverance from this bondage and blindness of Satan and salvation.
Yeah.
Well, that shut him up. That settled it. I didn't even think about it anymore. That was too. Now on Thursday, about the same time, I'd gone to the kitchen to get me a drink of water, and I just stepped in the bathroom, in the dining room, out of the kitchen. Just like a voice spoke to me. Almost sounded audible. He's out here somewhere. And this voice came again and said, oh, come on now. You don't really think. You see, if he could have gotten me back into the reason round, he'd have whipped me. I'm going to say it. I've said it again. I'm going to say it again. And this will not be the last time I'll say it. As long as Satan can hold you in the arena of reason, he'll whip you in every combat and every battle and every day, Monday through Friday, and twice on Saturday and Sunday.
Yeah.
But as long as you hold him in the arena of faith,
there it
you'll
is.
Defeat him in every combat
That's
and
it.
In every battle.
That's it. Amen.
Hallelujah. I picked that up with my mind at first, because that's where he was speaking, was to my mind. I started to think on it, and I just shut my mind off. I wouldn't even touch it with my mind. Way down here on the inside of me, I started laughing.
Yeah.
And that just kept bubbling up till it came out my mouth. I laughed right out loud and said, no, no, Mr. Devil, no. No, I don't think he'll be saved. I never have thought he'll be saved. I know it. You see, I took the name of Jesus. Satan won't argue with you about that name. He's afraid of that name. And he'll start trembling then. You see, I took the name of Jesus and broke your power over him. And claimed his deliverance, that is his deliverance from you, from bondage of Satan, from this blindness. The God of this world has blinded their minds, it said.
Yeah.
Well, that has to be broken, friends. There is where intercession comes in.
Yeah, amen. But I'll stop it there. But he goes on to say, by I think it was either that Sunday or the next Sunday, his brother was saved.
Yeah.
So this happened within a week or maybe 2 weeks.
Yes.
Whatever fasting and praying couldn't do in 15 years.
Yeah.
Right? And then all of a sudden the thought came, and y'all heard him say it. He said, I wouldn't even touch it. He said, I shut my mind off. My mind tried to grab it, but I wouldn't allow it to.
Yeah.
Amen? That's what we need to make sure we're doing. Amen? Yeah. We need to ask ourselves, is this bringing faith? This thought, is it bringing faith? Is it trying to help me? Or is it trying to defeat me? We got to find out. Ask yourself that. Because you'll know immediately from the thought. Because if something comes up and says, you really think you're healed? Is that bringing faith?
No.
The question is no. Or the answer, I mean, is no. No. Because you don't, I know I'm healed. Right? How do we know it though? Because the word says it. Right? You don't really think you'll get that job, do you?
Yes,
amen. So that's not helping us. That's wanting to make us rethink what we're believing God for. And if it's trying to do that, don't grab onto it. Shut your mind off. Resist it. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Well, we're going to have to finish next week. It's already 8:12. Amen. Amen. All right. Well, Father God, we do love, thank you, praise you, magnify your holy name, and we thank you, Father God, for your word, for the ability to use your word, and thank you, Father God, for the authority that you gave us. Hallelujah. Not just the authority, but also the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. And so, Father God, I thank you we'll continue to grow in your word and meditate on your word from this moment forward. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Everybody agreed, said.
Amen.
Amen.